Thank you, Brad and Bobby, and thank you to the BDM volunteers for that report today. And it's good to celebrate what God is doing in and through Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren. At this time, we want to transition to a time of prayer this morning, and we call your attention to the prayer and praise list that's printed for you. The back part of the bulletin, some folks we are praying for there. Your continued prayers for Kim Sullivan are greatly appreciated as she remains under hospice care. Additional concerns are listed on that page. Joyce Wagner is having surgery on her wrist tomorrow. We pray that that would go well for her. Mary Poe returned home from rehab on Wednesday, just in time for Thanksgiving, so we praise the Lord for that. A number of folks listed there, a number of needs, and we want to bring them to the Lord this morning in prayer. I encourage you to pray for them as you go about your week each week. Are there additional prayer concerns you would like to make known today or praise you would like to share? I see Amy's hand, yes.
I'm a new grandma.
All right, congratulations.
Allie had a little girl yesterday. She went to the hospital at 1 and had her at 1:48.
Wow.
Yeah, she waited till the very last minute. But her name is Kendra Maeve, and she's healthy and happy. Thank you.
All right, congratulations. Yeah. Anyone else? Seeing no hands, I'm going to remind you that after the prayer, we're going to receive the morning offering. And a reminder that the morning offering also includes our Change for Change missions offering. So when the offering is being received, if you have Change for Change, you may bring that up and place it in the canisters, the buckets that are here for that. And so at the conclusion of the prayer this morning, I'm going to pray for the offering, and we will transition then directly right into worshiping God through the giving of our gifts today. At this time, let's bow our hearts and heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we delight in the opportunity of worship this morning on this first Sunday of Advent, a privilege we have to be together in fellowship and in worship together. And Lord, we anticipate the blessings you have for us as we move into the season of Advent and journey towards the Christmas Eve service where we'll celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. It's always good when God's people can be together and worship and can also pray together. And this morning, Lord, as we come in prayer, we're praying for those that we know and care deeply about who are struggling and need a touch from on high. Lord, we pray for Kim as she continues to deal with her cancer, Lord, and it's taking her life from her inch by inch, Lord, and we pray that you would continue to surround her with your peace and presence, Lord, and pray that the family would continue to do all that they can to encourage her through this time and ask that you would bless them as well. We rejoice in Amy's news today, Lord, of a new grandchild, and thankful for the new life that's entered this world, and pray your blessing upon them as they continue to celebrate that new birth, Lord. We pray for others today who are sick and afflicted, Lord, for Joyce, who will be having surgery tomorrow. We pray that that go well for her. And for others, Lord, that are upon our hearts and minds, we think of those that are struggling, Lord, with their health, mindful today of different ones, Lord, that are weighing upon us, and ask that you'd be pleased to bless them and to touch them and to heal them. We pray for those of our congregation, Lord, who are hunting. Lord, we pray that you'd keep them safe as they're out in the woods, Lord, and pray that you would bless them with time away as well as the opportunity to harvest a deer, Lord. We pray for our nation as well and the many needs and that we see across our land and the conflicts and places of struggle, Lord. We think of Dawson Springs, Kentucky, who's here now, several years after a hurricane came, or after a tornado came through, Lord, they're still rebuilding lives and rebuilding homes down there. Lord, we pray for the world situations, difficult places, places of unrest, and Lord, people who are struggling each day with food insecurity or even the possibility of starvation, and people who are living as refugees. Lord, we need the Prince of Peace to once again come into these very difficult places and bring peace and to bring healing. Lord, bless your congregation here at McKenna Grove as we continue to proclaim Jesus Christ through this upcoming season. We're excited for the blessings you have for us as we enter into Advent, Lord, and celebrate the good news of Emmanuel, God with us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity this morning to offer our prayers to you as well as our gifts. So, Father, we now pray for the offering that's going to be given this morning, Lord, that we would receive these gifts and multiply them and use them for the furtherance of your kingdom through the ministries of your church here at McKenna Grove and support of mission work throughout the world. We thank you for the opportunity to provide change for change today, Lord. The missions offering that will go to support the Brethren Housing Association, as well as the mission work in Dominican Republic, Lord. So, Lord, this is our opportunity to give, and we want to give because you have given to us your one and only Son, Jesus. So bless us as we give today. Hear our prayers, our petitions on behalf of others. We lift them all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Hannah. We're going to invite the children forward at this time for the kids' sermon. Marietta has that this morning.
Good to see all of you up here this morning. I have a question for you, and you have to be really honest. Here's my question. Are any of you afraid of the dark? Yep, I'm getting some honest answers, okay? Well, I'll have to tell you the truth. There's a lot of grown-ups out there who don't like the dark either, okay? So what do you do about the dark? If you don't like the dark, what can you do about it? What do you think? How about light? What do you think? Get a flashlight, that's right. We need light. That's exactly right. So here's what I do in my house. I don't like it to be dark at night. Do any of you have things like this in your house? You know what these are? What are night lights? Okay. Night lights. Oh, do you have some of these in your house? I have them in my house too because I don't like the dark. I get up at night sometimes and I get a drink of water. I go to the bathroom And you can fall or you can bump yourself in the wall if you don't have a light. So I like light. But then what if you're outside? And I heard an answer for that. If you go out in the dark at night, that's not real safe, is it? What do you use? I think I heard an answer. What? A flashlight. Okay, so I brought a couple. I found this one at my house. I can keep this in my pocketbook. What do you think? That's a cute little one, okay? But it's not real helpful. And then I found this one. That's a good flashlight, right? That's what you can use when you go out at night. But then I found this one. What do you think of this one? Now, that's a major light, okay? That's really bright, you know? So I like that light. That's a really good one. And a lot of grown-ups, did you know if you have a phone, you have a flashlight on your phone? Did you ever see a grown-up use a phone for a flashlight? Watch this. I got a flashlight on my phone. So people like light, you know? I mean, there's lots of, I get this to go off now. Hang on. Go back here. Done. Go away. Okay, turn it off. All right. So people like light, okay? Did you notice right nowadays, does it seem like dark a lot out there outside at night? Do you see a lot of dark? Like, I remember in the summer, do you remember in the summer you get up in the morning? In the summer when you get up, is it daylight sometimes in the summer? Yeah. What about this morning? Was it daylight when you got up this morning? No, it was dark. And I remember in the summer, these big, long, dark, bright summer evenings. I bet some of you had to go to bed in the summer when it was still daylight. Does some of you have to go to bed in the summer and it's still sun shining? I don't know. But now it's dark even before supper time, you know. So I don't think we like darkness. And I have to admit, not only do children not like darkness, there's a lot of grown-ups out there who don't like darkness. I've heard people say, oh, it's a dark time of year, we don't like it. I have to admit, if I have to choose, how many of you have to choose? Would you rather have it light or dark? How many like dark? A couple like dark. I figured that. How many like light? I'm getting more people liking light. Well, you know, we sometimes talk about our world, and we say that the world is full of darkness. There's a lot of good things in the world, but there's bad things in the world, okay? Think of some of the bad things in the world. If I could say the world is dark, tell me some things out there that are bad, that make you sad, that seem dark. Give me some ideas. What? Tell me some ideas of dark, bad things. What are bad things that happen? And what do you think, JR? Bank robberies. Yes, people are dishonest, okay? That is a bad thing. Think of some more bad things that happen in the world. I can think of some more bad things. What do you think? What? Greed, greedy people. Yep, there's lots of, that's bad stuff out there in the world. What other bad, sad things are out there? Can you think of? I thought it. What do you think? What's this? Okay, being house robbed. Exactly. Well, what about this? Do kids ever fight in school? That's not a good thing, is it? Did ever you get sick? Do you ever get sick? That's not. There's lots of bad things out there. What are the good things that are out there? There's good things out there. Think of some good things out there. What's good things out there? Can you think of good things in the world? What do you think of? What? Playing outside in the daylight. Yeah, that's a good thing. What are some more good things out there in the world? What do you think of? Getting a Christmas tree. Yeah, that's a really good thing. Absolutely. Tell me something good. What do you think? Anyone else? Oh. Your friends are good. Yes, and one more thing. What do you think of? Not being robbed, yeah. Well, being safe. Those are all good things, you know? Well, the bad things in the world make us sad, and the good things in the world make us happy. When we have the bad things, we don't have very much hope. And we have the good things, we have hope. So, did you know, it's been like that for a long time. Back in the days, even before Jesus, it was dark. It was dark. And people talked about how dark it was. And the prophet Isaiah gave a message, and he said this. This is the Isaiah. This is a prophet. Before Jesus came, he said this. He said, people walking in the darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of the deep, a light has dawned. It's a wonderful promise. It's a message of hope. And it's telling us that God is going to send light into the world. So here's a question. If God promised to send light into the world, who was that light? Who do you think? God, no, who else? Let's give me another name. Jesus, God's son, Jesus was the light that was coming into the world. So Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. And when we have Jesus in our lives, we can live by his light. Just like you go out and have a flashlight outside, when you have Jesus in your life, you have light in your world. So this is the first Sunday of Advent. It's the beginning of the time that we look ahead to Jesus coming to earth on Christmas Day. And today we're going to be reminded that when Jesus came into the world at Christmas, he brought us hope and he brought light into the world, because Jesus is the light of the world and we all love light, right? Didn't, at least most of us said we like light, okay? So this is a wonderful message of hope for us today. So would you pray with me, please? Let's pray, okay? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for sending your son Jesus, who's the light of the world. Father, we love light. We don't like darkness, and we look forward to being reminded that Jesus came to be the light of the world. He came to bring us hope. We thank you for this message, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may go back.
Thank you, Marietta. Today we are beginning our Advent preaching series. I've entitled it God with Us. That's Emmanuel. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. And we're going to look over the next 4 weeks at the traditional themes of Advent, of hope and peace and joy and love, and do so with that lens of God with us. Today being first Sunday of Advent, we're going to focus on, of course, hope. God with us, hope. We live in a world that can often feel like a wilderness, where confusion reigns and paths to righteousness seem shrouded in shadows, but we are not alone. We have a guide, a beacon of hope, a king who reigns supreme and whose love never falters. That king is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whose birth we're going to be celebrating here in just a few weeks. And today we're going to begin to prepare our hearts and minds for that celebration as we look into an Old Testament passage, the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 to 6, for words that will provide, which were spoken to provide hope for the Israelite people, but they really provide hope for us as well. The great author and theologian and pastor Tim Keller said, "Christmas is telling you that you could never get to heaven on your own. God had to come to you." And that statement really summarizes, encapsulates the heart of our sermon today, that without Christ our King, there is no hope. But with him, we have hope, an enduring hope, and a hope of the assurance of love and joy and peace and hope. So let's read Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verses 2 through 6, which is our first Advent message, God with us, hope. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 2nd verse, hear now the word of God. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged a nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in a day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Isaiah was a prophet to the nation of Judah for about 60 years. He was the voice of God to the people for 60 years. And the book of Isaiah is written about 700 years prior to Jesus' birth. And at the time, the Israelite people, they had sort of turned a deaf ear to God. They were not living as God's people. They weren't living well in the land that God had given to them. They weren't loving their neighbors. There was injustices were widespread among the people. They had really turned their back on God. And Isaiah begins warning them, saying, you need to come back to God. You need to get back in relationship with God, or judgment's coming upon you. And in fact, in Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah is again saying, Assyria is coming. That's your neighbor to the north. They're going to come and bring God's judgment upon you if you don't come back to Him. And so Isaiah keeps calling the people back to God, but they wouldn't listen. And I think the people, the Israelite people at that time, felt kind of powerless. They're surrounded by their enemies, and they're always at war with somebody, and it seems like God had sort of forgotten them. They certainly had forgotten God, and I think they're thinking the same thing. Hey, God doesn't care about us. And so Isaiah's trying to call them back, saying, you know what? There is some hope here. It looks like a desperate situation. It looks like God has forgotten you, but don't give up. Hang in there. There is a glimmer of hope, the promise of a king like no other. A king who would not come in pomp and ceremony, but rather as a newborn baby. A king who would not just rule, but one who would serve. A king who would just not lead, but rather love. And a king who is not just a mighty monarch, but our wonderful counselor, a mighty God, our everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace. So this first glimmer of hope appears for us in chapter 9, verse 2, with these words that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And the point we want to make is this: in the midst of darkness, God promises a great light. In the midst of darkness, God promises a great light. And notice he doesn't say he promises a light, but rather a great light. Pastor Marietta did a great job with the children's story, the kids' sermon here this morning, and talking about light and darkness, and really that's what Isaiah's contrasting here is, yes, you seem like you're in darkness right now, but hold on, hang in there. There is a glimmer of hope, and that is that there is a great light that is coming. And of course, Christmas season is a season of light, as we have Christmas trees that are lit up, and we have houses that are decorated with lights, and we talk about the Christmas story and how significant light is in the Christmas story, how the wise men made their way to the Christ child by following the light of a star, and we talk about light at Christmas because of John's gospel. As he introduces his gospel, he talks about Jesus as the light that has come into the world. John chapter 1, verse 9 says, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And you know what happens when you're in darkness, total darkness, for an extended period of time? You become disoriented. You become depressed. You become unable to function. You become fearful. You lose hope. And that's really where the Israelite people were. Isaiah is telling them, look, you feel fearful, you feel depressed, you think God doesn't care about you, you've been living in darkness, but hold on, there's a glimmer of hope here, and that is a great light that will help take away the darkness. And that great light, of course, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world who delivers us from the darkness, and we can rejoice in that. Not just in Advent and Christmas, but all year long. Because without His light upon us, we don't have relationship with the Father. We're lost in the darkness, as John tells us. And so Isaiah's calling the people back to God with the words of hope. And that's what Christmas is all about, is a season of hope. We begin hoping that we will get such and such for Christmas. Some of you have your list ready, you know, of what you want for Christmas. As our family gets more spread out, we just hope we can get together for Christmas, as it's getting harder and harder to get family together. Many of us are hoping for a white Christmas. I'm not one of them. So, and some of us are hoping to simply get through the next month without getting the Christmas blues. Some of us have all kinds of different hopes for these days and weeks that are ahead of us. But for the wayward nation of Judah, Isaiah says, hang in there. There is hope. A great light is coming into the world. There's a second point we need to make today. In verses 3 to 5, Isaiah is writing in the past tense of future events. And the point is this: the hope of Jesus' birth will bring joy, peace, and prosperity. The hope of Jesus' birth will bring joy, peace, and prosperity. In verse 3, the light coming into the world would increase their joy, he tells them. This light that's coming is going to increase your joy. And in Hebrew, the word for joy is simcha. And it is a word that's used in our text today. And it means exceeding joy, great joy, overwhelming joy. The kind of joy that makes you want to celebrate and be festive and have a party. That's the kind of joy that Jesus' birth brings. And we know that Jesus' birth was announced with what? I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. The hope of Jesus' birth will bring a joy that no one can take away. We often sing during the Advent and Christmas season, joy to the world. Why do we sing joy to the world? Because what? The Lord has come. But Isaiah adds even more in verses 4 to 5 as he says the coming Messiah's birth would bring peace. And you think for a nation that was constantly at war, this would be great news for them. That Jesus' birth is going to bring peace to them. And of course, the peace that Jesus is talking, or that the scripture is talking about here, is not the kind of peace that they were thinking of. They were probably thinking of absence of conflict, that kind of peace. But of course, we know that the peace that Jesus brings is the peace that we know between the Father and ourselves. The peace in our relationship with God. That's what the great light brings to us. Jesus comes into the world so that we might no longer be enemies of God, but rather at peace with God. We'll talk more about peace next Sunday. That's the second Sunday of Advent, so you'll hear more about that as we unpack that next week. And Isaiah suggests that this great light coming into the world would bring prosperity as well. And you have to keep in mind that people here in the Israelite days, in this time when Isaiah is writing, their prosperity was confined to what they could get in plundering other countries, other countries that they conquered in battle. They lived off the plunder of other people, or they lived off the harvest from the field. That was their prosperity. And Isaiah is saying, you know what? You're going to have a prosperity that's much greater than that. You don't have to live off the plunder of people anymore. You don't have to be totally reliant on the harvest of the field. That this light that's coming into the world is going to bring you a prosperity that is greater than that. And so when you're thinking about prosperity here, don't be thinking about, well, Jesus' birth is going to bring us great material wealth and material things. No, he's going to bring a prosperity of blessing and provision. Don't think material wealth, think of blessing and provision. And that is exactly what Jesus' birth brings, the provision of a Savior. Because let's face it, friends, there was no way, absolutely no way we could save ourselves. So what does God do? He provides a Savior. And of course, the blessing of sins forgiven and life everlasting. That is a prosperity that we can't get on our own. And that's the prosperity that Jesus' birth brings. And of course, that leads to the final pinnacle verse of hope, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And hear these words of hope one more time. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, for an Israelite who is far from God, hearing those words of the prophet had to be a source of great hope for them. Really? A mighty God, a wonderful counselor, you know, Jesus' birth is bringing all these things. And that's our final point today, that Jesus' birth brings an enduring hope. An enduring hope. Let's break this down a little bit. Because this text here, this verse says that the government would be on his shoulders. What does that mean? The government will rest on his shoulders affirms the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is looking forward to the day when Christ is going to reign upon the earth, when he will be the government. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. Because I don't trust our own government, and I don't trust the governments of the world. But if Jesus is Lord of all, and the government is on his shoulders, I'm okay with that. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And so in that day, the government, the whole world will rest on his shoulders. But until that time, we know that the kingdom of God is an invisible form. The kingdom of God is observed and experienced through our relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. But until that day when the Jesus physically reigns as the ruler of the earth, we have to look forward to that day. Today we live in that invisible kingdom. But Isaiah also gives some powerful descriptions of this promised Messiah. He's called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Not a creator of confusion. We have people today who are such creators of confusion. But as a Wonderful Counselor, Jesus always knew what to say. He knew when to reach out to a seeking heart. He knew to rebuke an impetuous soul. And even his enemies said about him, "Never did a man speak the way this man speaks." As God incarnate, Christ is a source of all truth. And that's why Jesus could perfectly and proudly say in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." No politician can match that. It is he whom we must ultimately trust and turn our lives over to. When he rules the earth, there'll be no uncertainty in his administration. He's a wonderful counselor. He's also a mighty God. He is the one who in creation brought order out of chaos. Scripture says God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. In other words, as a wonderful counselor and as a mighty God, he's going to tell us the truth and he's going to empower us to live out that truth. He'll display his power by bringing order to the chaos. He's also the everlasting Father, and that means no complications. The Messiah's kingdom is uncomplicated because he is the everlasting Father. And that phrase, everlasting Father, literally means Father of eternity. That's what it literally means, Father of eternity. He is the sole ruler, and he doesn't need anyone to assist him. He knows the end from the beginning because he is the Father of eternity. And lastly, he is the Prince of Peace. No conflicts. We had an interesting Sunday school lesson this morning talking about conflict and war and peace and those kinds of things. But Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace. And an angel's announcement of peace on earth came with the arrival of the Holy One, and that Jesus would bring a lasting peace on earth. And some of you are saying, well, what do you mean lasting peace, Pastor? Look around us. There's so many places in the world today where there is no peace. Of course, we're talking about a greater peace. And that peace is between God and humanity, between God and you and God and me. That's the kind of peace that Jesus brings. That we're no longer enemies of God. That we have a relationship with him. You know, friends, we seem to live in a world that is groaning from the weight of sin. We see injustice everywhere. There's no value to human life. People are fleeing their countries for their very lives. We have war on multiple continents. We have widespread poverty worldwide. And our own nation, as blessed as we are, we seem to be a people living without hope. Hope of the truth that God is with us. In the beloved Christmas carol, O Holy Night, we sing, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angels' voices, O night divine. O night when Christ was born, O holy night, O holy night. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. I wonder when Isaiah spoke those words to the people of Judah 700 years before Christ's birth, if they experienced the thrill of hope. But how about you? Will you experience the thrill of hope this Christmas season? Because there's good news, friends. Emmanuel, God is with us. He is with us and he gives us hope and a reason to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Christ, our Savior. Matthew 1:23 says, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That, my friends, is the thrill of hope. And may our weary world rejoice this Christmas that God has come to us and is with us, Emmanuel. I'm going to close with this story. Peter Marshall was the one-time chaplain of the U.S. Senate, and he said it this way in his book, Let's Keep Christmas. Peter Marshall writes, in a world that seems not only to be changing but dissolving, there are tens of millions of us who want Christmas to be the same. The same old greeting, Merry Christmas and no other. We long for the abiding love among men of goodwill which the season brings. Believing in the ancient miracle of Christmas with its softening, sweetening influence to tug at our heartstrings once again. We want to hold on to the old customs and traditions because they strengthen our family ties, bind us to our friends, make us one who all mankind for whom the child was born, and bring us back to God again and again, who gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So we will not spend Christmas, Peter Marshall writes, nor will we observe Christmas. We will keep Christmas. We'll keep it as it is, in all its loveliness of its ancient traditions. May we keep it in our hearts, that we may be kept in its hope. I love the way Peter Marshall wrote that. Emmanuel, God with us, the thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. Friends, let us resolve to keep Christmas. Keep Christmas in our hearts and celebrate the hope of Jesus' birth. Emmanuel, God with us. To the praise of his glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we desire to keep Christmas, much like Peter Marshall challenged us in those final words, to celebrate the thrill of hope, such that a weary world would rejoice. For with Christ's birth, we know that there is hope, hope of life anew, hope of renewed and restored life, of relationship with the Father, the hope of sins forgiven, of life everlasting. May this be a season of hope for each one of us. And may we indeed keep Christmas and celebrate the good news of Emmanuel, God with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.